Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Welcome back, Dr. Young. We are back again. This is like our third conversation. We had a whole conversation last week on screen time for littles and the ways that it can affect your little one's brains and very early on, and different strategies and habits that you might want to start taking to ensure that your child is set up or maybe engaging in like better screen time than the ones that can cause way more negative consequences later on in life. Now we're moving later on in life, y'all. We're moving past the Miss Rachel's and the Blueies and the Cocoa Melons, and we're getting into like the hard stuff, or like the more, I guess, I like to say it's older kids, and it is older kids that normally do this, but it's more like an older, like a futuristic iteration of whatever the screen time is, right? So starts with TV, then you can do the tablets, then we kind of evolve into the smartphones and the social media platforms and the YouTube and the gaming, and that like opens up a whole very unique, different can of worms. And I'm so excited that Dr. Young is here, because this is kind of like your bread and this is like your field. This is like where your patients are. This is what you've seen. This is what started your passion for this work. So we are just so lucky, I feel like, today to be talking with you. And also, like y'all know, I had kids first on birth control when I was 23. Not gonna shout out the birth control brand, but biggest surprise, amazing surprise of my life. But yeah, I have a 13-year-old and 3-year-old. So this part I have seen is like, we kind of teased it in last week, but it's just a lot harder to combat some of the effects of like too much screen time, smartphones, social media that can have on this age group, which is my 13-year-old. And the effects are just way bigger, I feel like. So, Dr. Young, I would like, let's just start from square one. Like, what are, like, we've talked about screen time and like YouTube and like click, click, clicking if we're a little kid and things like that. But what are the unique dangers and the unique challenges that like social media platforms and smartphones in particular like have for our youth?
Yeah, so many. And this topic might be kind of depressing, unfortunately, because there's a lot of negative aspects to just kind of cover. But I mean, the big difference with a smartphone is that you're giving a child their own little computer that has access to the World Wide Web that they generally are going to take around with them as much as possible. And because they're a little bit older, they have more free will. Parents may feel that it's harder to, you know, a little kid, you can just take the iPad away. Right. When they get a phone, that can become very different. And so there's that whole thing. And the unique aspects that are different to little kid programs are, when you get onto social media, you are going to be exposed to, number one, cyberbullying, which everybody knows about. And we know that it's more vicious online from people you know or maybe don't know. So there's all of that. A huge difference is online predators. Like, I've honestly learned a lot about this. And I think, you know, learning what I've learned about the sheer volume of child sexual abuse material that's out there, and, you know, predators trying to lure your kids on Discord and Roblox and all these different platforms. For me, I mean, that's enough to keep my kid off of this stuff if I didn't even think about any of the other things. So there's that. You've heard of sextortion?
Yes.
So sextortion is when people often in a different country are going to pretend to be usually a female, get a male to send photos and then extort them for money. And suicide has been on the rise because kids just kill themselves over this. So it's terrible. The other thing I would say that's unique now and is growing rapidly is AI. And you know, friends taking kids and putting naked bodies on them and sending them out. And so there's all of that. The last two I would touch on are number one, drugs on Snapchat. So So there have been many kids that have been killed because there are drug dealers on Snapchat that are seeking out these kids and deliver pills to their door, and they're laced with fentanyl and they die. There's countless cases of this happening.
Holy shit.
And then porn. So porn, again, is like a whole topic in itself. But when you and I were young, like, it was hard to find porn. Boys had to find the magazines. And
you had to go in like the secret room in like a video store that you weren't allowed to go into.
Exactly. But now these kids are, the average age that kids are seeing porn is 12. And we know that when they're exposed to porn at such young ages, it can actually really change their brain chemistry, the way that they view relationships, all of it. It's a whole topic. So it's just really dangerous. And so those are what I would say, unique aspects, not even getting into what we will get into is like the mental health part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so wild too, because like, I feel so old sometimes, but like, the amount of things that we like, think about your grandparents or your parents or something, and how much they don't know about like the daily things that maybe you even do, they're still on, no offense to people who are still on Facebook, good for you, like that's fine, but like they're using Facebook as like their only form of social media maybe, and they're like, oh, there's Instagram, oh, I just discovered this TikTok, and it's like yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, mom, that's what this is. And so I just real like, they are kids, the ones that have, like, if they have their own device, like my 13-year-old, like, I don't even know. I didn't know this thing about the Snapchat drugs thing until right now. But there's just so many things that we aren't aware of. And then we're aware of it. Like, they've been known about that. Like, I remember when I saw this article on sextortion, it was like a couple years, I don't remember, maybe like a year ago. But I talked with my son about it. He's like, yeah, mom, we've already had like a discussion in school about it. Like, I was just so late to the party, and I'm like, dang it. And so all to say that these are just things that you and I, like Dr. Young, are talking about now. And like AI is now evolving into this whole other beast of a thing that's disgusting. Like, and if you think that there's going to be policy or laws in place to like help your kids to stop that, you are so dumb and so wrong and so naive, unfortunately, not dumb, but just naive, because they're older than us, especially in America, y'all. Like, they don't even know how to even set like boundaries in place until it's way too late, until there's lots of cases to show that this was really bad. So the unique dangers basically that you just named freak me the F out. And it just also, parents need to be made aware, because our kids are already aware. And even if you think you have like a really trustworthy kid, I'll like share a little bit, because we talked about unique dangers of like social media, and my son in particular, my 13-year-old he doesn't have a TikTok. He opened one for a little bit and shut it down, but he's not really into like the social media aspect as much, but I don't know if you would you consider YouTube social media?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that would be his platform, but it's less about like engaging with his friends through Snapchat and all these different things, to my knowledge at this date, right? Like, I know whatever I know, but that doesn't mean he's not vulnerable if he has his own device, computer in his pocket that I don't have access to 24 hours a day. And that's the kind of like scary part. Like, I think a little bit, and we're going to get into it, but like,
well, and I think too, like I've always, you know, I'm careful on my platform even to like, I don't want to fear monger. I don't want parents feel like they have to do these things out of pure like terror. But at the same time, like, these are the realities that are out there. And and it is bad. Like,
yeah.
So although I don't believe in parenting from a place of fear, I don't do that myself. I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah.
You have to have a healthy amount of fear and awareness in order to, like, if you just ignore that it exists, well then, right?
Right. 100%. Yeah. And I love, and that's why I think I sought you out in the first place, is because there is a lot of fear mongering with some of this stuff. And it doesn't, the social media in and of itself is like a FOMO app. Like, it wants to make you fearful of missing out and wants to make you feel like you're doing something wrong, and it makes you come back for more. And like, it's built to do that. So like, I feel like when people use their platform to just reiterate that, or like get clickbait to just make you feel even worse, it sucks. Yeah. So like, I really do appreciate your platform. And again, this episode is going to be just like giving information that's out there, because I don't think ignorance is bliss when it comes to our kids. I think I was probably a little bit more ignorant, knowing that once I know things, I can't unknow. But if it's like to my child's safety, I'm going to make the call that I feel is best for my kid. And I know my kid over everybody, but you got to know stuff. You can't just pretend like, oh, that's just, nope, I'm living in my land. That don't exist. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, if your kid knows about it, you might want to just be aware that they could know about it. So I'm just excited to get into this a little bit more. So I know there's a ton. We talked about like the unique dangers of social media and having a smartphone, but what are like some of the particular negative effects that can come along with social media usage or smartphone usage for our kids?
Yeah, I think this question, and hopefully it's not too long. It's probably my longest explanation, but I think it's important to lay the landscape for like where kids are at right now, because where kids are at right now in their mental health is very, very different than you or I were as. Are you a millennial? I'm assuming.
Yeah. 87, baby.
Okay.
87. Yeah.
86. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, if we look at trends in mental health in general, so we're not even talking about social media at this point, but if we look at the trends, millennials were actually doing quite well. We were doing well. Our suicide rates were going down. We were thriving. Yeah. And then around 2010, 2012 is when you see rates of childhood, specifically child and teen depression, anxiety, loneliness, self-harm, suicide, all these things going up. And I don't want to bore people with data, but there's a lot of data to show that. So basically the line is going up since 2010. If you look back, what happened around 2010, 2012? So in 2010, Instagram was born. The iPhone 4 came out, which was the front-facing camera. So thus began the selfies. In 2012, Facebook bought Instagram. So that's when Instagram like blew up. That's also when Snapchat came out. And 2012 was also the time when basically as an adult, if you didn't have a smartphone, you were the minority.
Yeah.
So this is when our world shifted to online, right? And we are now seeing Gen Z, for example, who is the first generation that grew up with this technology, and also with parents that had no idea what this technology was doing to their kids. We're seeing the effects now on them and continue to see the effects on younger kids. But, you know, when you look at these platforms that are, they're addictive. And when you open an account as a kid or a teen, the algorithms that are automatically fed to you are wildly different than the algorithms that we are fed if we open an account as a 30-year-old.
Right. So, oh my gosh. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. There was a study that was done that showed like within 2 minutes or something, they were getting fed self-harm content. So, like it's just so,
that's so fucked up. Oh my God. Anyway.
Yeah. You should open an account and see. And so, so, you know, kids are put on these addictive platforms that the whole goal is to keep them on as long as possible. And so when we look at a lot of the studies, it shows around 2 hours of use on social media is when you start to see the harms go up. You start to see more depression, more loneliness, more self-harm thoughts, all those things. if we look at how much time kids are spending on social media, and this is many studies that have shown many similar numbers. So they are spending a median of 4.5 hours a day on social media. That's a median. So that means 50% are more than 4.5 hours. And in fact, there's 9% that are spending over 10 hours a day on social
media. What the hell? You're in school, like, right?
Do you know when they're doing it? In the middle of the night. And I can corroborate this because I make my patients show me their screen time. Right. And they'll look at it and be like, you're what, all night? You're, what are you doing? So it's true and it's shocking. And so, you know, they're almost all using the platforms more than a healthy amount. And we're seeing the consequences of that. They are lacking self-confidence. Yeah. They are lonely. Yeah. You know,
it's all consuming. And I want to back up a little bit because we talked about this last week about addiction and screens. And you were very, like, you made the distinction, like, little kids, no, if you're not addicted, take it away. Like, but I think that you did say twice, like, it's like addictive when you mentioned this group, the demographic, and smartphones and social media. Yeah. Do you draw that correlation, and why, like, can you explain more about that?
Yeah. So absolutely. You can become addicted when you're a little bit older and just sort of out of that daily, monitoring from your parents, let's say. Do you want me to explain, like, the dopamine science behind that, or just
I think it could be helpful, because I think, like, it seems like it's a common knowledge, but I don't I when I was researching you, I was like, oh, it just was a good reminder, so of just like what that means. So I would love for you to briefly.
There's certain aspects I think, like, everybody is aware of dopamine, and everyone's aware that gives us pleasure, and you know, so. But there's so much more to it. So you have this baseline of dopamine all the time. And that baseline level of dopamine is what is going to get you up in the morning, get dressed, like, basically fulfill your needs to live. So that's, like, from an evolutionary perspective. And then every time that you anticipate getting pleasure from something, you're going to get this spike of dopamine. What some people don't realize is that after you get a spike of dopamine, you actually get a fall below your baseline. Mm-hmm. And when you fall below your baseline, you don't really like how that feels, and it motivates you to go back and repeat that behavior. Yeah. So when we look specifically at social media, you know, if these kids are spending a median of 4.5 hours a day with their likes and their comments and the algorithm feeding them all the things that they love, they are constantly getting dopamine hits. There was another study that said a median of, like, 237 notifications a day. Median.
What?
Yeah. So you're getting dopamine every time you get that notification. And so what happens over time is that your dopamine receptors, I've heard it said this way and I love it, they like to be tickled, but they don't like to be bludgeoned. So when you're constantly hitting your dopamine receptors, they actually start to downregulate themselves and go away. And what you start eventually, when it gets into true addiction, they die. So when you have this happening and your baseline level of dopamine starts to fall, you'll see that your kid, all of a sudden, they aren't interested in doing things that they may otherwise have enjoyed doing. They don't want to go to school. It's not as fun as social media or video games or whatever it is. They don't want to hang out with their friends. They are isolating themselves more, and they're trying to just focus on getting those dopamine hits from social media. What then happens as you go further along is that they actually no longer get excitement or pleasure from social media either. And you'll see this with some of, like, my husband tells me, like, the famous gamers and things like that. Like, they actually don't enjoy it anymore because they're so addicted to it. And it's true of any addiction. Anybody who's truly addicted to anything is not happy, right?
Right.
And so, so that's when you see them fall into that true addiction where they can't stop.
Yeah.
Despite trying.
Yeah.
It's interfering with their school or their relationships or their work or whatever it may be. And they need more and more social media or video games in order to try to get that peak. So that's when you get really serious. And again, like, it's going to be a low percentage of kids that
right. actually that addicted. Exactly. Yeah.
But I think it's a lot. I think it's more than this we know right now.
Right. And it's probably on the rise too. I like the distinction that we're making, y'all, is like, there's negative effects that you can see in your child that is getting too much social media and screen time, which is social media and like smartphone gaming, whatever it is. And that is not necessarily addiction. Like, there's like another layer to that. Some of the negative effects you mentioned as lonely or like less
engaged in things. Yeah. So the signs that you might see as kind of a continuum, right?
Yeah.
Some of the things you might see, so less interest in doing things that they otherwise would enjoy doing. When it gets really severe, so further along down the continuum, you're going to see that like they don't even want to shower or brush their teeth. They're not even taking care of those basic needs for survival. They may be eating less because they just, you know, you're going to see that when you try to put boundaries or take the stuff away, they're really irritable, really anxious. They might be verbally abusive. Like it's a big scene to try to get them to come off. They constantly want more. They're asking for more. They're breaking rules around the use, right? So you've set boundaries and they're going around that. So those are all kind of warning signs. And isolating themselves. Like they just want to be alone in their bed by themselves.
I'm young. I'm going to cry. Okay. Stop it, Lauren.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. But okay. So real quick, I'll just get into it, but then we'll get back to like all of it. But I should share why I'm getting so emotional is because like I said, my son was born in 2010, which you said like just was like the start of everything. So he was born when we were just figuring it all out. Like it was, everything was just happening. And I was older. So like, I was probably late to the party to get, I don't know when I got a smartphone, probably like 2012, but I basically passively, like, he was a good kid, great in school, like nice, kind heart, like my little Buddha baby. So I would just passively like give him things that I thought were okay. It started with a program called Late Leapfrog, which was like a really educational program that you could put on. I guess we had an Apple TV at the time, but it wasn't like on YouTube or anything, but it was just like math. And he would watch that for hours on end. And I was like, oh, it's educational. I was also a younger single mom. My husband was my husband was touring. So I felt like a single mom. And that was one thing. So then when he got to be age 10-ish or maybe 11, he was going to middle school and he walks to middle school. So it's like, oh, you're going to need a phone. And I wanted to get him a nice phone. So I got him a smartphone, just thinking like, okay, this is a really good gift because you've been such a good kid. Not really thinking or understanding the access that was and like things that he might be like, you know, just getting these little dopamine hits or whatever the case may be. And he's not really into like social media. Like I feel like a lot of his grade is, you know, doing TikToks and things like that and are doing things for likes, but he is very much, I think, I see the behaviors of, he watches gamers. He watches a lot of gamers or he watches a lot of YouTube and he plays games. I go through his phone. They seem innocent, but he just keeps on needing to do it. So we'll take his phone at night, but I'll notice that he sneaks and gets it back. And I didn't know that he was capable of doing that. Like, obviously teenagers lie. They're supposed to. It's weird if they don't, but like, it's just hard when you realize that maybe some of the decisions you made have like led to, creating a child that might be a shell of themselves. And that's the part that's like, God damn it, Dr. Young. That's the part that's kind of hard to, I want to scale it back. So this is all, I'm sharing this, y'all, because I have little ones, right? And it's different when you have the older ones and you see, like, you ask them, like, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? And I kind of compare it to like motherhood. Like I forgot what my hobbies were and things that I liked to do when I became like a mom, because it's all consuming. Yeah. It consumes your world. Yeah. So if you're into anything that consumes your world, it's sometimes hard to see what you were outside of it. And I kind of equate that to like smartphones and platforms. And yeah, it's just, I'm trying to get him back. You know, this is all to say, this episode is passionate for me because I'm trying to get it back.
And you know, I think it's important for you to know that you're not alone. Like there's so many parents that you don't know what you know. Well, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And it's not like you did those things knowing like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, even though it's going to like, it was all, I give presentations to parents. And I say like, one of the main reasons why we've got where we've got is because we've got kids with a generation of parents that just don't know. Yeah. And so,
Exactly. You know,
this is the information that we needed 10 years ago, but it's coming out now. And it is coming down to like, we've got to save a lot of these kids, right?
100%. And it's like, yeah, you like you said, you don't know what you don't know, but once you do, and it's, and I told this story to Dr. Young, but I'll share it. It's, I think like, I didn't know what you had just named for signs, right? I was like, okay, he's fine. His grades are great. He's a kind kid, but like rushing home, not to like, I was an eighth grade girl, bye. You could not make me come home. Yeah. I was getting into trouble in wherever I could. I was like, oh, I get to hang out. And like, they literally have like this like cool place that like the middle schoolers can hang out. He's rushing home because he wants to get on the screen. I'm like, didn't you want to, you want to go over to so-and-so's? He's like, no. Like, I'm like, wait, what? And so I didn't realize this like could be a sign, right? Yeah. Another thing that you had mentioned, just seeming like less, like almost like non, like, there's not a big reaction for things that are a really big deal in real life. Like he got gifted this amazing gift by my in-laws, like to go to Amalfi Coast with a best friend. And when he was given that news, like our follow-up was like, are you happy? He's like, yeah, this is cool. But it was just like, I was like, yo, this is cool. Like, you know what I mean? Me, I'm like, and then I'm a different person, right? I'm outgoing and things. And so there is like a shyness personality trait, but it's more than that. And then like, if I do take away, it's like, hey, it's time to stop. It was like, I've adjusted things in the past few weeks, but before it'd be like, why? Okay. And then 20 minutes later, can I get this back or just sneak it back and just take it away from wherever I put it? I'm like, are you back on that? I said you couldn't. So just like the things you just named about the boundaries and kind of not following them. That's when I realized, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
It's not addiction.
Yeah.
But like, I'm seeing, if you need to notice the warning signs and then adjust accordingly. And I'm trying to like adjust accordingly.
And I think too, in the research, even like, I think a lot of it focuses on girls because I think girls, they're more addicted to social media, whereas boys seem to get more addicted to like YouTube and video games in my experience. And I think that is true. But girls also talk about their feelings more. They're more likely to present to a physician. They're more likely to develop like an overt body anorexia or something where their parents bring them in. Because whereas boys, they're more likely to go undiagnosed because of similar things you're talking about, right? It's kind of subtle. And you're like, well, is this just teenage angst? Yes. And like, is maybe it's fine. And they don't really talk about it. They may not ask to go to see the doctor. So I think boys are equally suffering and more so in like loneliness. But they don't reach medical attention as much, which is sad too.
Yeah. And I think you had posted, or maybe, I don't know who posted anymore. I'm like, I don't remember. This is a very ironic thing to say, but someone was talking about how girls are in social media. It's just like, you really got to watch out for the effects of them because they tend to be the ones that are just, I'm so glad I didn't have social media when I was in eighth grade, ninth grade. Like I couldn't deal. Like I already had like issues of how I looked and things like that just by existing.
Yeah.
But like to have something just like these filters and all these different things that come along with all these different platforms for teenage girl or pre-tween, like it's just wild how that could probably affect one's self-esteem. So to like just be mindful of that. Do you see that correlation with gender roles?
Yeah, like so one thing I was gonna highlight. So girls definitely suffer a lot because of social media, but boys do and have always commit suicide more.
So
boys commit suicide way more than girls. Girls' rates are really going up and like catching up. But boys suffer in silence, right? And then, but they do complete suicide more. So that's one thing that I would say, like, we can't take our eyes off the boys. But girls, yes. Like I am particularly worried about the fact that most girls now are getting on social media in elementary school, and there is
they really are. I've seen that. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, there needs to, again, be way more research in this area, but the research that I have come across about the rates at which their depression and self-harm and suicide is going up, like girls from age, I want to say 10 to 14 in Canada and America and basically all like Anglosphere countries, they're like as high as they've ever been. So these young girls, I mean, you talk about an immature brain getting whacked with something that they are not prepared to handle. It's really, really scary. So I am particularly worried about those little girls and what they're going to be in 5-10 years.
I know that. I feel like I'm sorry, y'all. There'll be things that we give you to do. Yeah. About it, because I feel like
we'll have actionable steps.
But yeah, I, it's just a lot. And it's just something that we as millennials didn't experience. And we just don't know. And like, this is like Gen Z is the first generation. I happen to have a Gen Z son. He's a really young Gen Z son. And then we have like Gen Alphas, our little kids. And it's just like, I wish I just knew more about it. I wish I knew all the things and how that I had to do like a manual about exactly what to do. We don't. The only way we do is by experts like you and parents sharing their stories. And I try and tell my son, like, I talk to my son about everything. I'm always trying to pull because boys, you got to pull. And so I'm like, hey, you got to pull. Because I'm not just like observing him and then seeing what happens. Like, I try and have these conversations with him. And I'm like, hey, you know, I just think that you might be a little bit like really reliant on the smart on your phone and like these devices. He's like, no, I'm not. It's fine. Like, it's fine, bro. Like, I'm like, okay. And then he's like, I'm not going to get like addicted. I'm like, you won't even know when you are. And I was like, I kind of make this analogy. And I think I said this to you, like via DMs, we were just deciding if we were going to do this podcast, but like, I kind of equate social media or smartphones or whatever platform is your preferred use, kind of like a casino or gambling. Like the house will always win. You can go to a casino sometimes, like in Vegas, like with your girls, like play the slot machines, be out and be fine. I'm like, okay, cool. It was really fun. If you keep on coming back and maybe you win something, you're like, oh, I won. This was awesome. Oh, I'm going to just win a little bit more. And like not knowing when to walk away, I'm going to win a little bit more. I'm going to come back. Oh, I just lost a little bit. I need to win that back. I'm going to come back. If you continually show up at like a gambling casino place, eventually the house wins. It's meant to. You don't have a chance.
There's a term for that, and it's called intermittent reinforcement. And that is exactly why we get so addicted to these platforms. It's the same thing, right?
It's the same exact thing.
Like, did I get likes today? Did I, you know, like,
And as an adult, I'm like, I'm an adult, so I have different rules. I know, but I am like I'm not a lost cause, but this is about the kids, but I probably have as someone that works on social media for a living.
Yeah.
I know there's boundaries that need to be placed even for adults. We feel like this. I have so many friends that like delete the app and they feel better because they just like, I had a little bit too much. I was feeling a little sad. So I deleted the app. If we are experiencing this on any way, shape or form, imagine your 8th grade brain, your 9th grade brain, your 7th grade brain, your 4th grade brain.
Well, and so, picking up on what you said about your son, how he's like, no, I'm fine. I'm not addicted. Yeah. You know, that is an important piece actually for parents to know, because I'll hear a lot of the time, like they just won't put it down. They won't do it. We have to understand that their frontal lobe is not developed, right? They do not have insight. They do not have judgment the way that we do. Whereas we could, you know, waste an hour of our day on social media and be like, oh my God, I need to put this down for 10 hours. They won't do that. And so I'm counseling parents on, you know, unfortunately it's you, like you have to do it. You have to set the boundaries because they just won't because they can't, and it's not their fault, but they can't.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. You just made me an aha moment. I think one of your posted this for me too, like a while back, but like my mom would not let me drink. Like it wasn't like, hey, come drink alcohol at my house. Did I sneak out and go to parties and do it? Sure. But there was a boundary set in my house. So like, even though I knew I wasn't supposed to, and there was like a boundary set, like, yes, maybe I experimented and did what I need to do. But my mom, like, I knew I wasn't supposed to. So imagine if my mom did let me, right? Like how much I would have it would have been a whole, like, a teenager is going to be a teenager. Yes. You're not going to be able to keep them from whatever they have, but you do need to be mindful and like set boundaries and consequences, at least when they're around you. So they know that if they are doing it, they're kind of getting away with something versus this is just the norm and I'm allowed to, and I'm hiding and it's fine.
Exactly. We can't just throw our hands up and say, well, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So now let's talk about if someone like wants to start introducing, like a lot of my listeners have younger kids, so they might not be in the smartphone, social media realm yet.
Yeah.
YouTube, all those different things. What would you have parents consider if they're going to give their child a smartphone? Like how do you introduce it in a healthy way? When to introduce it in a healthy way?
Yeah. So number one, I would say, does your child need a phone or do they need a smartphone? Because I think one of the main reasons why parents give their child their first phone is because of safety, right?
Yep.
That makes sense. And so that's okay. Like if your kid is going to be alone for big portions of the day and you want to be able to get a hold of them, that's okay. But what I would encourage parents to do is not jump to getting them the smartphone. Get them a dumb phone, which is a talk and text flip old school phone, or much more accessible to you in the States because of your laws. You have a number of companies like Bark, like Gab, who have child safe phones. So so these are phones. Yeah, you should look into this. They're phones that have, I'm not good with tech stuff, but they have software built into them that monitors the phone. So if your son was texting and, you know, sent a nude, will be caught by the phone's technology and send you a notification that something happened.
Okay. I'm looking into this like ASAP. Okay.
Yeah. No yeah. Way. So they're amazing. We can't have them in Canada. Lucky us. But, for the US, it's a great option. And I think still not to jump to it because it still is a phone with capabilities of social media, which we'll go over when I think they really are ready for that. But it's a great stepping stone for sure when they're ready. Okay.
That's super helpful.
Dumb phone, child safe phone. Then I always talk about like another reason why people might get their kids social media or a smartphone is for like special reasons. Like my team has an Instagram account that I need to be on or the school or whatever. If there's starting off with these one-off needs, just be creative. Like you can use Instagram on a desktop. You can use it. They can use it on your phone. Like don't give in to the full shebang just because of a little need.
Yes, exactly. 100%. I feel like there's so much peer pressure around the reason parents do it for safety, but also I think they feel like everybody else is doing it. Like they're all their friends have it. This is a peer pressure. So I might as well, they're going to be left out. She's not going to get invited to this. Like all her friends are doing something. So she's going to be the one that's left out. And I don't want to do that to her. So give in kind of thing. And
I totally empathize with that too. Yeah. I mean, that's another big reason. And I think, again, the more like education we can get around there, then therefore the more like-minded parents can get together and help their kids get creative about being able to stay in touch. Because we know that the stats are being in touch on social media. If you do it too much, you're actually more lonely. So it's a double-edged sword. But yeah, going back to when do I think they're ready? So I know parents want an answer for this, and you see a lot of campaigns out there that are giving like age-based recommendations and things like this. I want parents to have like ish ages, but also look at developmentally when your child is ready because every child is different. Mm. So I came up with this 4 R's that I thought sort of captures when I think a kid might be ready for the responsibility. So the R's are responsible, respectful, resilient, and risk aware.
I love that.
Yeah. So just like a few examples for each. Responsible would be like, are they attending school? Are they doing their best in school? That doesn't mean the grades have to be good, but are they doing their best? Are they doing their chores without a fight? Things like that. are they respectful? So do they respect you and your house rules, or do they talk back and break rules a lot? Do they respect their siblings, their teachers? Are they already engaged in lots of friend drama? Because that's just going to get worse when they get on social media. So this kind of respectful piece, the last two, I think really set apart the ages a bit. So resilient, I'm really looking at, are they, do they have a sense of who they are in the world? Like adolescence is really, that is what it's about, is finding your place in the world and who you are and being confident in that, being able to, you know, not give in to peer pressure, these kinds of things. So do you feel like your kid just has a sense of who they are and what they stand for?
Yes.
Do they have an identity that has been formed in the real world?
Okay. Right. Oh, well, that's snap to that. That's huge. Huge.
Yes. And then the last one would be risk aware. Like, I think that kids, the first things that we talked about, they need to know about predators. They need to know about porn. They need to know about AI, cyberbullying, all of these things. So if you're looking at like an 8-year-old and you don't think that you're ready to tell them about predators that want their photos to send to other predators, then that's probably a good reason not to give them social media.
Huge. That's such a good comparison too, because of like, you're going to give them literally access for them to access the world, but also the world to access them in a way. Like if you aren't ready to put an 8-year-old and say, do that, then don't do, then that's probably a good indicator that they're not ready.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm really not a fan of like the child accounts that you see on Instagram that have hundreds of thousands of followers that are parent managed. And I'm like, but all of this content of like your child is being used. It's being used.
That's a, I want to find someone actually to talk about that specifically too, because it's the whole, I think that's, I, that's a whole thing in my mind. Like I'm like a mom creator, but like, I'm very mindful. I think like, it's not like a lot of it's just me. And I've been actually taking my kids away a little bit more because I'm starting to learn little tidbits, probably not enough, but it's probably, I just know some of the comments I get for just like me. Like I posted me as a pregnant person and I got all these really weird, disgusting comments. I'm like, I wonder who's seeing my kids. Like the internet is crazy and wild, and there's creeps.
And they want kids.
Yeah. And it's just, okay. We are not done here, y'all. I know we had spoken a lot, like with Dr. Allison, and some of it was like a little bit depressing or scary. It's stuff you need to hear. But when we come back later this week, we're really going to be talking about boundaries that you can set and tips on communicating with your child. And just ways to, I got real vulnerable in this, but I'm telling you from someone that knows, just ways that you can just be there to show up for your child in the best way possible and not shield them from the internet. That's not what we're talking about, but just healthy boundaries to set so they don't fall in the trap of needing social media and smartphones or being addicted. So can't wait for y'all to listen to that.